I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Not only did we have March Madness officially tip off Tuesday night in Dayton, but we are not even a half hour away from the Major League Baseball season starting. Like, for reals, it's an actual game that counts. It's weird. I get it. Not only is it not in the United States, it's in Tokyo between the Mariners and the A's, but it also is opening day at 2:30 in the morning, Seattle and Oakland time, 5:30 Eastern time. But they have gone through batting practice. I've seen the tweets and the videos, and they are getting set for first pitch of the first game of the 2019 Major League Baseball season. So it'll be broadcast live, and we'll have it up here in studio for the half hour that overlaps with our show. However, it is weird because they come back from Tokyo and they play a few more spring training games and then they break camp. Although that's smart if you consider the travel and the jet lag that will be associated with coming back from halfway across the globe. And so it's Major League Baseball opening day. It still feels weird. After hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, not this time tomorrow, but on Thursday night on the show, we're actually going to have a former president of a Major League Baseball franchise join us from Japan. So we'll talk not only about this series to start the year, but also about this record deal for Mike Trout. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio from inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for all your questions, for Ask Amy Anything. It's our hump show staple, of course, and so we just wrapped it up. We do it, we leave it in the same time slot every week. And so it's at 1:40 Pacific time, 4:40 Eastern time. We give you a chance to post your questions on Twitter and Facebook. So I have looked back at them now. There's dozens and dozens of them. Thank you. I know that you are listening and I know that you care. Do you care enough to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge? Because that's the next thing that I require of you. So head to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or the Facebook page. And I guess you have now just over 24 hours. I have promised that my bracket will be done by our next show, and we will reveal our final fours to you once Dave is done being sick. He's so stressed out about his final four that he's made himself sick. And so when the gang is back together, we'll do a video and we'll do our big reveals then. But the tournament did tip off last night with a pair of 16s and a pair of 11, a pair of firsts, and one bittersweet final moment in college basketball. We will get to that. And of course, even as we tried to determine the secret to winning all of the various bracket challenges, I have one with my family. You may have one in the office. Maybe you have one with Vegas, or I guess you don't even need to do Vegas anymore. But wherever your bracket pool is, we want to try to give you the best analysis, even though there is a direct correlation between too much analysis and sucking at your bracket. It's been proven. I saw a tweet on Tuesday going back to a study in 2001. There were some scientists who did the research. The more you know, the worse you do. That's essentially me summarizing the research. The more basketball knowledge you have, the worse you do in your bracket. So take that for what it's worth. But we will have a former NCAA coach and current basketball analyst join us a half hour from now here live on the show. So we'll talk college hoops, plus one incredible comeback in the NBA. It's kind of fun to watch. But in Major League Baseball, even as we prepare for the opening pitch of the 2019 season, Mike Trout is now locked up with the Angels for the next 12 years. This is so funny to me. And maybe I'm the only one who finds this humorous. But according to Google, and we knew it to be 4 months, but according to Google, the exact number of days that Bryce Harper was a free agent stretched to 118. Think about the angst, right? Baseball was twisted in knots waiting for Manny Machado and Bryce Harper to get their contracts. These guys are being undervalued. And then, of course, Scott Boras, Uber agent for Bryce Harper, dug in his heels. He was a bulldog. He waited and he waited. And eventually they got what they wanted. They were rewarded for their tenacity and their patience. 118 days. But Harper's contract tied the record for the most number of years at 13 and became the richest contract in terms of dollars that we've ever seen. He was rewarded for waiting out the opposition. It's like a big cat waiting in the tall grasses for the prey to come along unsuspectingly, pounced, and got a nice meal out of it. Richest contract in sports history for all of 19 days. Come on. That is funny. Okay, Chris, if you don't think it's funny, I'm okay with it, but I need to know if there's any piece of humor that you find in this situation. Maybe I am the only one that thinks it's humorous, but all this drama, and it was the richest contract for 19 days, not even 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely ironic that he put on this grandstanding affair, dated, wined and dined all these teams, him and Machado, and then it was like, 2 weeks and it's gone. And that was about it.
Oh, if you get your validation from being the best, the richest, the baddest, the most anything, well, eventually you'll be let down and disappointed. So the Angels, who were ticked at Bryce Harper, maybe that's why they had extra motivation to get it done before the season started.
That would be such a play. What a coup on their part if that's what they did.
The Angels were ticked at Bryce Harper for using his platform after he signed this deal to start to recruit Trout. Now, keep in mind, it's the same Bryce Harper who said we're going to bring a title to D.C., but you know. So he starts trying to recruit Mike Trout 2 years before he's free. And the Angels were irked. Baseball was not pleased either. And now, 3 weeks later, that becomes a moot point because the Angels weren't allowing Mike Trout to go anywhere. It's a deal that I can't identify with. I say this every time, but it's true. The extension is worth 10 years. $360 million. So the number you're hearing, I want to be accurate. The number you're hearing, the $426.5 million, is total value for his contracts. There's two of them. The one he's in right now and the one he just signed as an extension, or he's about to sign as an extension. But it bothers me that I keep seeing 12 years, $430 million, because it's not a 12-year deal. It's a 10-year deal tacked onto the two he's got right now. And that's according to Angels.com. The new contract adds 10 years to his existing deal, making it 12 years total. Okay, so the 10 years is not a record. In fact, 12 years is not a record. But the new watermark for free agent dollars, well, really for any contract in sports history, is now $360 million. In one little bitty contract. Wowzers. But as some of you have pointed out, not only is Trout the best player in Major League Baseball, but he carries it well. He's the face of the sport, one of them, but I think you could say, well, the problem is the Angels have had him on the postseason stage for exactly three games. So, well, we'll say he's one of the faces of Major League Baseball. Definitely the best player. And he is one of the guys. He's not assuming it. I can't imagine there is an athlete out there who doesn't have an ego. I think you need to believe in yourself and be uber confident to get to this point. You have to bet on you a lot. However, you don't see the ego, hear the ego. The guys love him. They call. I've talked to his teammates before. They call him a big kid. He's a huge fan of the Eagles, right? He's just a, he loves his life. He loves baseball. He loves Southern California. He's married. I mean, he's just a good guy generally, according to everyone who knows him. And so I'm not the one paying his contract. And even though I can't really identify with the money, to me, if you're going to give it to someone, he's the right guy to give it to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. But I'd love to get your reaction. Jim Bowden has been a guest here on the show before, and he's frequently on CBS Sports HQ, former baseball GM. And he has a heady comparison for Mike Trout when you start to look across the board at other sports.
He's the LeBron James of baseball, so you just pay him. You know, this isn't... Sure, it's going to affect Mookie Betts, you know, in his contract negotiations next. This will affect that. But for the most part, the industry looks at Mike Trout and says, good for him. Just like Laker fans looked at LeBron, well, good for him, max contract. I mean, Mike Trout is the best player of this era. He's the Willie Mays, the Hank Aaron, the Ricky Henderson all rolled in into one. He's a once-in-a-generation player. There isn't an argument when you ask any of the 30 GMs who's the best player in the sport. It's 30 to nothing, Mike Trout. It's not even a conversation. No other name is even brought up. That's how good Mike Trout is. There's nothing on the baseball field he can't do. So, look, I think you look at him a little differently. Look, I don't think there's any question. The analytics say be
That's
concerned
not my phone.
When a player gets north of 35, except if they have the hit tool. Mike Trout's got the hit tool, so we don't worry about the end of his contract. He's that good.
Okay, so he's the LeBron of Major League Baseball. Got it. Here's the problem. That money is a waste if they cannot get their rears back in the playoffs. Do you know the Angels haven't been to the postseason since 2014? So if they would miss the playoffs again, you're talking about 5 years. But going back even to the beginning of Trout's career, they've only had 3 playoff games since Mike Trout became an Angel. Now, he's been injured a bunch, but the team that one season in 2014, with all the expectations, fell flat, swept by the Royals, out. That's it. They were done. And Chris looked it up, and his, what did he bat, 1-for-12, you said, over the course of that 3 games. So he probably is itching. He's desperate to get back on that stage. And baseball needs him on that stage. I want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs again. The problem is the Angels haven't been there. And so if they would get to the postseason, if they would play in October, if they would capture the World Series, all this money is well spent. Otherwise, it's a waste. One playoff appearance in nearly a decade, and it lasted 3 games. One playoff appearance in Mike Trout's career, it lasted 3 games. Uh-uh. This money better translate. It better mean that the Angels are not just invested in Mike Trout, but invested in the franchise itself. Obviously, Mike Socia, no longer the manager there. And they've gone through some transition, but the owners are committed to winning. Great. Mike Trout, highest paid ever. Got it. You miss the playoffs again, it's a freaking waste of money. Also, last night, Alex Bregman agreed to terms, or we found out that Alex Bregman agreed to terms with the Astros, of course, the all-star third baseman. 6 years, $100 million, and it replaces his current deal. So it's different than the Mike Trout situation where it's tacked on to the end of Trout's deal. So Trout still had 2 years, $66.5 million left on his contract. And again, these 10 years will be added to the back end. Keeps him an Angel through 2030 until he's 39. And it also adds another $360 million for his trouble, for his time and his trouble. But Bregman, 6 years, $100 million extension. And at 24, this wipes out the deal he was on. So it replaces what he had. Just over 10 minutes away from the start of Major League Baseball in the Tokyo Dome between the Mariners and the A's, and Ichiro, who, of course, is the most popular player to be there by far. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Join the After Hours Bracket Challenge coming up. We have tipped off the big dance in Dayton, a pair of firsts, and a bittersweet goodbye. Thanks for joining us on this hump show. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Back to Jenkins. Between the legs dribble. Being watched by Gary Blackston. Set on the timer. Jenkins down the right lane line. Right-handed shovel. Good! Jenkins gets it to fall. We are tied at 59. Jenkins taking his time. 10 to shoot. Under 3 minutes to play. Jenkins starts to his right. Hand off Edge. Catch and shoot. Yes, sir! Darnell Edge, as accurate as they come. Edge connects from downtown. 73-66, Fairleigh Dickinson. Jenkins shifts to his right. Jenkins on the attack. High pass corralled. Elijah Williams with 9 to shoot. Into the paint. Bounce it to Holloway. He scores it off the glass with 26 and a half seconds left. 80-76 FDU. Jenkins dribbling around. Down to 3. Prairie View calls off the dogs. Back into the hands of Edge. He tosses the ball high in the air. And Fairleigh Dickinson has its breakthrough moment as a program. For the first time ever, the Knights are victorious in the NCAA tournament.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to the Knights of Fairleigh Dickinson. What a performance from Darnell Edge. 7 of 9 from beyond the arc, and twice the Knights had to come back against Prairie View A&M when they were down double figures, first in the opening half and then again in the second half. But Ted Emmerich with the excitement there on the Westwood One radio network. So this was the first time that FDU has won a tournament game in its 6 tries. And as you can imagine, the fact that it's a national stage, there were no other games going on. It was the only one on True TV at the time, right? There was a doubleheader, but it was the only game in town. It adds to the excitement and the thrill for these young men. But think about it from Darnell Edge's perspective. He is not only now riding a new career high, he goes 7 of 9 with these huge shots from beyond the arc and helping to lead his team back. But it is literally the biggest game now of his career, and he had his best performance.
So winning the championship was a great feeling. Coming out here, being able to get our first program win, making history, this tops everything. You know, so I'm just real proud of these guys. You know, they stuck through it. Even though we was down at halftime, we were down the first 4 minutes of the second half. We rallied together and came back and closed it out.
Really cool. And it is going to be a challenge for Fairleigh Dickinson now, because you had 3 guys in the starting lineup play 40 minutes, including Edge. And then you also had another young man play 36 minutes. So their total minutes off the bench, 14. 4 guys, only 14 minutes. But now they have to turn around and play another game in, 48 hours? Well, depending on the schedule. I haven't actually looked at the particular schedule. But Fairleigh Dickinson goes from its first ever NCAA tournament win to a matchup with Gonzaga. And so it's a challenge. They have to travel in there as well. But still, no one can take away or tarnish this first in program history. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio was also the case, remember, for one of the last 4 teams that got into the field of 68. Belmont was one that, well, there were some analysts, some experts and bracketologists who were kind of stuck. Would it be Belmont? Would it be TCU? Would it be another team? Well, the Bruins made the committee look smart.
Hopkins yo-yos the dribble with the right hand. He tees up a 3. Give it to him. Nick Hopkins, first points of the game. And Belmont's up 60-55. McLean handles it on the left wing. Right-handed dribble, screened by Musinski. 6 to shoot. McLean fires. He's got it. A triple. McLean's 4-3 tonight. It's an 8-point lead for Belmont. 63-55. Kunkel lob it to Musinski. Mid-block left against a flat piece. Pounds it. Twice, 3 times, 4 times, turns toward the baseline, and he hooks it in off the glass. The array of post moves by the freshman Nick Musinski. Belmont's up 65-57. Down to five. Belmont fans on their feet. This is the moment they have been waiting for. Belmont, as an at-large team, they didn't expect to be here. They're not just in the NCAA tournament, however. They are moving on for the first time ever.
I get the question a lot. What's the missing piece? The missing piece is y'all had never won a game in the NCAA tournament. And I don't really care about the personal part. If we'd have lost this game, I'd have been proud of what we've accomplished. But I don't have to answer that question anymore.
I love that from what is a stalwart in college basketball, Belmont head coach Rick Byrd. So he gets his first ever NCAA tournament win with the Bruins. But on the opposite end of the court, it was a farewell to Fran Dunphy. And anyone who knows college basketball recognizes the legacy that he leaves behind. Nearly 600 wins in his 30 years in Philadelphia. So he spent 17 years at Penn, the last 13 seasons at Temple. And he had already planned that this would be his last year. And so to hear him speak on True TV to Dana Jacobson afterwards, there's the class and there's the wisdom, there's perspective, but you can also hear the emotion in his voice.
How about how great a life that we lead as coaches and have a chance to coach these guys every single day and be with them. And again, they're your sons for the families are giving me their sons for X amount of years, four to four with Ern and Chiz and Trey Lowe. I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful for the relationships you build and the staff that you have and the people that are so supportive of you at the university, those kinds of things. But it hurts. You know, it's a very difficult time. We have on the board, let's get to Jacksonville, and we didn't get it done. So it's disappointing. But the emotions are, I'm the luckiest guy I know. And hopefully these guys, the guys that are coming back will continue to work and do a great job for Temple and Coach McKee and enjoy their careers.
So Aaron McKee is taking over. He's been on coach's staff for the last several years. So if you think about Philadelphia basketball, it looks completely different on this Wednesday morning. St. Joseph's firing Phil Martelli after 34 years. And so a lot of tweets and reaction to that on social media. And now Fran Dunphy, who has been a 30-year staple in the Big Five between Penn and Temple, and he's retiring and did get this tournament game. Belmont got the victory. And he talks about how the impact on him from his years in college basketball is far more than what he feels like he left behind him. But I think a lot of other coaches around the country would dispute that. In fact, we had just spoken to Coach Matt Langel of Colgate on our last show, and he talked about his mentor, Fran Dunphy. And so the coaching tree for Coach Dunphy is pretty extensive. And coming up next, we're going to speak to a former NCAA head coach who's now an analyst. Lee Klein will join us to talk about what we've seen so far. And no doubt when I ask him about the impact of Fran Dunphy on coaching, he will have an answer as well. So you can find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. We're talking about the Mike Trout contract. But if you have not seen the video that just got posted from the Tokyo Dome, so they are now minutes away from the first pitch between the Mariners and the A's, which will start out the Major League Baseball season. It's inside the Tokyo Dome, and the Mariners posted a video. I retweeted it. Of Ichiro getting introduced to the rabid fans inside the Tokyo Dome. The two teams are already lining the field. And so he was the last one, as you can imagine. He's an icon. He's a legend there. And now gets to play and be part of this action for the Mariners inside the Dome, but on Major League Baseball's opening day. It's weird, but it's happening, like it or not. And it's on live on ESPN, so you can watch real live baseball that counts right now. Although I know you'd rather listen to our show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I think I mentioned it. I'm just so fortunate to be able to have done this for as long as I did in a great city and at two great universities, and I'm very appreciative of what they have given me. But certainly the game of basketball has given me way more than I gave to it, and I'm grateful for, again, very grateful for my opportunity.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Fran Dunphy, now retired after 30 years at Penn and then Temple. Temple losing to Belmont in the first four in Dayton on Tuesday night. What a legacy he leaves behind, not just in Philadelphia, but in the sport itself. 580 wins and a coaching tree that's extensive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coach was talking to Dana Jacobson on True TV following the first couple games there in Dayton. So we're underway in March Madness and incidentally also underway in Major League Baseball. We got our first base runner of the year. Seattle and Oakland are playing in the Tokyo Dome right now. We're pleased to welcome Lee Klein, who's a former assistant at both Texas and Rhode Island under Tom Penders and is now a member of the Dark Side, the analysis, the college basketball, the army of analysts right now that are trying to see how this different field is going to go. Coach, it's great to talk to you for a couple of minutes. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and it's great that we're on this run here. 3 weeks, we'll crown a national champion, and it's the field versus Duke, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so we'll get back to that, but because you were also a coach, I would really love to hear your opinion of the legacy that Coach Dunphy leaves. What did he mean to the sport?
I had a chance to catch up with Coach earlier this year. He talked about being in the same house since 1984 and in coaching that just doesn't happen. And it was just so humble, true establishment in the coaching profession, somebody who was so giving of himself, mentoring other coaches. And then when you consider that Coach Mark Tully will no longer be at St. Joe's, as they made that announcement yesterday, now, the Big Five as we've known it, the faces that represented these schools are just changing so dramatically.
So you said Duke against the field. How fair is that? When you think about Duke on one side, the field on the other, who would you take?
I'm rooting for the field just because that's what I do. But this is the same vibe as we had 5 years ago when Kentucky came into the tournament undefeated, as an undefeated team, and you sat there and you tried to analyze, who could beat them. And that's what we're looking at with this Duke team, who could beat them. And we know when they're clicking with four pros, four first-round picks on it, three in the top five, that they're really hard to beat. But they do have some deficiencies from beyond the arc, and it'll be a question of matchups and can somebody, force Duke out of what they do best.
So as a former coach, as somebody who can look at it from a coach's perspective, I'm intrigued by this. Do you attempt to corral and contain Zion? Because he's a load. I mean, it's not just the talent, it's the size and it's the bulk and it's the way that he uses his body. Do you attempt to do that, or do you focus on the other four guys on the court and hope that Zion can't beat you alone?
Yes, right? You try to do everything, including force him to continue, make him go to his right, keep him out of being able to spin to his left, which he does so well, putting a body on him on the glass every single time, running interference is what you have to do there, as well as you really have to get back in transition because, him in transition from what he does defensively and stealing the ball and just the how electric he is just makes it so tough. To me, the X factor in some ways is, it's really the outside shooting of Duke because when they're hitting threes and it starts probably with Cam Reddish, now you have these driving lanes for Zion. Now you can't really pack it in. RJ Barrett loves to be able to drive it to the rim as well. So if Duke can extend the defense with having success beyond the arc, that's what makes them just so much more difficult. So I think you got to make it as difficult as possible for Zion, and you've got to force Trey Jones into being a shooter and being a guy that is going to take the shots. You've seen him do it on some occasions, but you got to pick your poison.
Lee Klein's a former assistant at Texas and Rhode Island, now part of the army of analysts and journalists and helping us look at the bracket that will take full effect come Thursday at noon Eastern. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So talk about Duke versus the field. But when you look at the other teams, maybe some of the top seeds, who else do you believe has a really strong path, good shot at winning the title?
Well, to me, the way the bracket's set up, I think Virginia's got a great chance to be in the Final Four. I think that they're not going to come in overlooking anyone, that's for sure. And they've got DeAndre Hunter back, and their team, you know, unique team that's a top five team in shooting the three and defending it. So they've got versatility in scoring. They've got the ability to, you know, do a great job, clearly, you know, defensively. Virginia, to me, is a team that, is Final Four bound through the South bracket. And then it won't be as easy, but I think the West is Gonzaga's to lose. I think Gonzaga has the best opportunity to continue. Of course, they'll have to do it through the FDU Knights, as
right.
we saw last night, one of our local teams, and just a great story. But I think Gonzaga and Virginia are two, and to me, the other number one seed, North Carolina, to me, they're the quickest out in the field.
Why are they susceptible?
Twofold. We saw them struggle shooting the three against Duke twice now. We saw it this last game. We saw it in Cameron. To me, and the other piece of it is that, you know, it's going to take, you know, for North Carolina to advance, it's going to take Coby White being willing to maybe, you know, to make the extra pass and do the extra thing that you don't get credit for. And I don't know if he's ready for that at this point, because it seems, as we saw in the Duke game, whether it been trying to, needing to feed Cam Johnson in a key possession, or at the end of the game, he wants to be the guy. And I think that teams that have success, their point guards understand that you got to make the best play. It's not always you. And so I think that's just a maturation point that I'm not sure he's at this time.
Always this time of the year, we're looking for the Cinderella. We're looking for the double-digit seed who can maybe not get to the Final Four, but make some noise, make this be the true definition of March Madness. What double-digit seed do you see out there that could make a run?
I'm going to say Oregon, the Ducks, who are now, you know, the much-maligned Pac-12. Now here we go, right? I think Oregon's in a great position to play a Wisconsin team. They're a hot team. And to me, you know, with Kansas State not going to have the service of Dean Wade, I think UC Irvine can take Kansas State down, and you can end up with an Oregon-UC Irvine matchup, and Oregon can move forward. So I think it's all a roll of the dice here. They got to play it. They got to play the game. To me, Oregon is intriguing. I look forward to seeing Murray State in Hartford tomorrow and being able to see them match up against Marquette. I think that's a team that can win a game, and who knows. And then from there, Yale, you know, is playing this LSU team, this team that's carrying so much throughout the whole season, from the death of Wade Sims to what's going on now with the coach. To me, Yale's in a position to win a game and may upset LSU. So those are some of the double-digit seeds that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
So, Lee, I just saw this scientific study that really does show there's a direct correlation between the lack of knowledge and success in your bracket. So, in other words, people who know basketball really well tend to overthink it, and March Madness just belies that every time. So we know that you are part of this effort to make March Madness and busted brackets not quite so painful. It's rtbrackets.com, and I am intrigued by this because I've never done this before, but what is a live bracket? How does it work?
So it's so smart. Sports Illustrated real-time bracket now providing, like we used to do with the great trivia games where we're at Red Robin, and as the clock is ticking and you can make an adjustment as it goes on. Now you could go, as you're watching the game, you can go and switch live to, so you have Virginia to win the Final Four or to be in the Final Four, like I just told you this year, and you see they're losing, you could switch off them real time and get credit for it. So this way, you know, who wants to be out in the first weekend? This is a 3-week thing. You want to be able, you want to stay alive so you can make, you know, if you make that winning call sooner, you get more points. And you also, your sheet of integrity, you still get points for your original pick. So it's sort of like a dual track, 2 leaderboards, twice the fun. You're never out of it. So that's the beauty of this Sports Illustrated real-time bracket.
Ah, okay. So rtbrackets.com. And is this an app that you put on your phone?
Sure. You can have the app. You could do it web-based. But you're saying goodbye to Busted Brackets. And that's... And this way, you know, it makes you a lot more confident as an analyst as well.
I guess, because you can do a little bit of a switch and maybe nobody ever notices. But this is the thing, though. I feel like in March Madness, if you're really good at it, something's wrong. Like, if your bracket looks really goodly, then we're not getting the craziness that we always do.
Right. When you have the people and you see it every time, my dad's a great example. You know, I said, did you pick it? He said, yeah. And he'll show me his sheet, and he's got, you know, 4 number ones in the Final Four. And he's like, yeah, these are the best teams. And I said, yes, that's why they were ranked number one. That's why they're one seeds. But that's, you know, what fun would that be? You want to have a little, want Cinderella to get her moment. So that's, you know, that's what makes this so beautiful, because anything can happen in one game. And we've seen it time and time again.
For sure. Well, we appreciate a couple of minutes. You can follow Lee on Twitter at LeighAlan Klein, KLEIN. So just look him up. Google him, Lee Klein. And then it's rtbrackets.com so that you don't have to be out in the first round. Instead, you can adjust and you can stay in it all the way through the Final Four in the national championship. Lee, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.